Have you ever keyed up the mic and heard a controller give you a clearance that just didn't sound right? Maybe a turn into traffic, maybe a descent that put you uncomfortably close to terrain. You questioned it, you spoke up, and that instinct, that training is exactly what separates a close call from a catastrophe. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we need to talk about what happened in the skies over Nashville. A Southwest Airlines flight came dangerously close to a mid-air collision at Nashville International Airport, and the root cause was not a rogue pilot. Not a mechanical failure, but an error made by the air traffic controller working the traffic. This is the kind of story where the headline alone should get your attention, but the details underneath are what really matter, especially if you fly anywhere near Class Bravo or Class Charlie airspace. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Here's what we know. A Southwest Boeing 737 was operating in the Nashville terminal area when a conflict developed with another aircraft. The separation between the two broke down to a point well below what the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, considers safe. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, is looking into the incident, and early indications point directly at the air traffic control instruction that put the two aircraft on converging paths. Now, let me be clear. Controllers work an incredibly demanding job. They manage dozens of aircraft simultaneously, making split-second decisions with lives depending on every single one. The vast majority of the time, they get it right. But the system is built with redundancy for a reason, because humans make mistakes. And when one of those mistakes happens at the speeds and altitudes we're talking about with commercial traffic, the margins for recovery shrink to almost nothing. Here's what you need to know about how this played out. The conflict was identified and corrective action was taken, but only after the aircraft had closed to a distance that should never have occurred under controlled conditions. We're talking about a situation where the traffic collision avoidance system, known as TCAS, likely played a role in alerting the flight crew. That system exists precisely because the layers before it sometimes fail. A controller gives a bad vector or a bad altitude assignment, and TCAS becomes the last electronic safety net before see and avoid becomes the only thing standing between you and a midair. This affects you if you fly general aviation in terminal airspace. And here's why. We tend to think of controlled airspace as inherently safe. You're talking to somebody, they're watching you on radar, they're keeping you separated. And most of the time, that's true. But incidents like this one at Nashville remind us that ATC is a layer of protection, not a guarantee. The pilot in command authority you hold under Federal Aviation Regulation 91.3 doesn't evaporate the moment you check in with approach control. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on this one, because the broader context matters. The FAA has been dealing with controller staffing shortages for years now. Nashville is one of the busiest and fastest growing airports in the country. Passenger traffic at Nashville International has surged over the past several years, and the infrastructure, including the human infrastructure in the tower and the TRACON, has been under pressure to keep pace. When controllers are working longer shifts, covering more positions, and managing heavier traffic loads, the probability of an error goes up. That's not opinion, that's fatigue science. The FAA acknowledged the staffing challenges again just recently, and there are training pipelines in place to bring new controllers on board. But the reality is that it takes years to fully certify a controller at a busy facility. You don't walk out of the FAA Academy in Oklahoma City and start working arrivals into a Class Bravo the next week. There's facility-specific training, certification on each position, and a developmental period that can stretch 18 months to 3 years depending on the complexity of the airspace. So while the hiring numbers are improving on paper, the experienced controller shortage at high-density facilities is a problem that doesn't resolve quickly. What does this mean practically for the pilot listening right now? A few things. First, always maintain your own situational awareness, even when you're being radar vectored. If a controller gives you a heading and something about it feels wrong, if you see traffic on your ADS-B display that doesn't line up with what you've been told, speak up. You're not just allowed to question a clearance. You're expected to. The Aeronautical Information Manual makes it clear that the pilot in command has the final authority for the safe operation of the aircraft. A polite confirm you want us on a heading of 270. We're showing traffic at our 11 o'clock could be the sentence that prevents a disaster. Second, if you're equipped with ADS-B in whether through a panel-mounted display or a portable receiver feeding your tablet, use it, actively. Don't just let the traffic targets populate on your screen while your head's down on an approach plate. Scan that display the same way you'd scan outside the windshield in terminal airspace where things happen fast. Having that electronic picture of who's around you is worth its weight in AVGS. Third, understand that a resolution advisory from TCAS, if you're flying an aircraft equipped with it, is not a suggestion. Airline crews train to follow TCAS resolution advisories immediately, even if it contradicts an ATC instruction. That protocol exists because of accidents like the 2002 Uberlingen mid-air collision over Germany, where a crew followed ATC instruction instead of their TCAS resolution advisory, and it contributed to a catastrophic outcome. For GA pilots without TCAS, this reinforces why traffic advisories from ATC and your own ADS-B traffic awareness are so critical. You are your own last line of defense. Now let's zoom out for a moment, because Nashville is not an isolated case. Over the past couple of years, the FAA and the NTSB have flagged a concerning trend in runway incursions and near mid-air collisions across the national airspace system. There was the incident at Austin Bergstrom. There was the close call at JFK. There have been events at smaller airports that didn't make national news but showed up in the Aviation Safety Reporting System database. The NTSB actually placed reducing the risk of runway incursions and ground collisions on its most wanted list of safety improvements. That tells you this is not a one-off problem at one facility. There's a systemic thread here. The FAA responded by launching what they called a safety summit, bringing together airlines, controllers, airport operators, and pilot groups to address the trend. Some of the outcomes included enhanced runway safety training, better surface detection technology at major airports, and revised procedures for certain high-risk intersection configurations. But as with any systemic issue, progress is incremental. Technology upgrades take time to deploy, new procedures take time to train, and in the meantime, the traffic keeps growing. For those of you flying into Nashville specifically, it's worth noting the airspace configuration there. Nashville sits under Class Charlie airspace with a busy mix of airline traffic, corporate jets, military operations out of the Tennessee Air National Guard, and general aviation. The approach corridors can get congested, especially during peak arrival and departure pushes. If you're flying VFR into or near Nashville, be absolutely certain you understand the airspace boundaries, you have the current ATIS information, and you're ready to comply with instructions quickly. And if you're IFR, don't assume that being on a clearance means all the traffic around you has been accounted for. Keep your head on a swivel. One more point on this, and I think it's an important one. Incidents like this Nashville near miss tend to generate a lot of discussion about blame. Was it the controller's fault? Should the pilot have caught it sooner? Was the system set up to fail? And I'd encourage you to resist the urge to point a single finger. Aviation safety works because we analyze failures honestly without protecting egos or assigning punishment as the primary goal. The NASA Aviation Safety Reporting System exists specifically to encourage honest reporting without fear of retribution. The NTSB investigates to find causes, not to find fault. That culture of open reporting and non-punitive analysis is one of the reasons aviation is as safe as it is. When we lose that culture, when people stop reporting because they're afraid of consequences, that's when the accident rate climbs. So if you take one thing away from this Nashville story, let it be this. Trust the system, but verify. Use every tool in your cockpit to maintain awareness, and never be afraid to speak up when something doesn't look right. The controller working your frequency is human. You are human. The redundancy that keeps this whole enterprise safe depends on every link in the chain doing its job, and that includes you sources today from Simple Flying and cross-referenced with FAA and NTSB reporting. More at radiohangar.com. Stay sharp out there. I'm Tower. We'll see you next time on ATIS.